Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, amen. Will you please be seated. Good evening. Okay, quick show of hands. How many people are attending an Ash Wednesday church service for the first time ever? Anybody? I'm seeing no one, which is what I expected. Oh, there was? Did I miss? Oh, excuse me, there is one. Okay, very good. Okay, but you're young. You're young. Okay, we like the new ones. But I'm still a little surprised. Not everybody who comes to Ash Wednesday comes on their first time. Let me ask you another question. How many people were just kind of driving down the street and said, "Well, it's Ash Wednesday, and they're probably doing something at 5. I'd better just go on into church." Does this apply to anyone? No. And it's the same reason that there are so few who are visiting us for the first time on Ash Wednesday. It's because this is not typically a point of entry for people who are new to Christianity, who are new to the idea of the gospel. This is an insider thing. This is something that Christians who've been at it for a while tend to do together. It's kind of an inside job, if you will. It's something that we do together. And so it makes me very nervous and makes me very glad that we Episcopalians aren't normally known for being biblical literalists. When I look at portions from our gospel reading today that would seem to hit us right between the eyes, as Cherry and I just came off of the street on El Paseo, where we were administering ashes on the sidewalk, not on the street, and not on the street corner. I just want to say the gospel says the hypocrites on the street corner. We were not on the corner. We were on the curb, but not the corner. And we did it for this reason, precisely because of what I just asked. You know, how many people here for the first time? How many people just happened in? Because people don't just happen in on Ash Wednesday. And yet I think the message of Ash Wednesday is pretty clear. If it isn't yet, wait till we get into the rest of it. I think the worship itself will make its point for you. And people in general know that something's amiss. People in general know that the world is amiss, and people in general know that their souls are amiss, but it isn't necessarily their first thought to come into a church to do something about it. So a whole bunch of people in the church a while back started thinking, well, what if we took these ashes, this sign that we think is such an insider thing, and take it out into the world? We run the risk, of course, that it is about vanity, that it's about being on the street corner saying, look at me, look at me. The thing that makes me even more nervous as a longtime Christian who grew up in the church, and I remember going to Ash Wednesday when I was in high school, when you're in that at the peak of that age where everything that your Christian parents and Christian friends do seems so hypocritical. And then you get to this gospel where they're talking about hypocrisy, and they say, oh, and don't be like the hypocrites who just disfigure their faces. And then we get this big ash smudge on our face and go out and let everybody know how holy we are. Well, the message, of course, I don't think has to do anything about our faces. I don't think that God is concerned with street corners, and I don't think God is concerned with faces. I think God is concerned with our souls. I think God is concerned with knowing whether we are actually just trying to make ourselves look important, trying to make ourselves look penitent, breast beating like we really care, or are we actually going to do something about it? As Christians, again, one of the things that we do that, and as Episcopalians especially, one of the things we're really famous for is taking something that is really, really simple, like love one another, and making it really, really complicated. Like, let's have a liturgy where the verger does this, and then the acolyte does that, and the priest does this, and making it as complicated as we possibly can, which is of no interest to God. What God is interested in, as we sit here going into Lent, as we consider the things we're going to give up, whether we're going to give up chocolate or whether we need to give up telling dirty jokes or whatever it is that I'm not giving up for Lent because I couldn't possibly, God is more concerned with, are we going to do the very basic things that we're called to do and to be as the people and the children of God? Are we going to see the presence of God in each other? Are we going to treat each other with compassion, justice, kindness, dignity? Are we going to feed the poor and the hungry? Are we going to give release to the captives? Are we going to give sight to the blind? Are we going to take care of each other? Are we going to love one another? It's really as simple as that. Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. That's what God says about all of our dancing around trying to get our Lent just right. Is this not the fast, though, that I would choose, God asks? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thong of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not your share? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? It's as simple as that. You and I are called to the observance of a holy Lent, and our navel gazing does nothing for that. Lifting up our heads, lifting up our eyes, and looking out at the people that God gives us to love and serve, and responding to them with courtesy, with respect, with dignity, and loving one another. That's the repentance that God is looking for from each of us. So as we pray tonight, as we get this ash on our head, may this be a sign that there are things that don't matter, that are passing away. They're turning to ash and blowing away. And then there are things that are eternal, that last forever. And this Lent, let's keep our eye on the prize. Thank you. Will you please stand? Dear friends in Christ, Every year at the time of the Christian Passover, we celebrate our redemption through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lent is a time to prepare for this